Welcome to another episode of Recipe Club, the podcast where we debate the best way to cook the things you want to eat. My name is Chris Ying. I'm hosting this podcast today along with my two very good friends. Which one of you is whose episode? This is Brian's episode, right?
A better friend.
Which of you is a better friend?
I thought you were about to say a better friend too. I was like, probably John DeBerry if y'all go more back. But I was like, Brian Ford is dope motherfucker. So.
No, because one of you owns this theme ingredient for this
Me.
Week. This is you. This is Brian Ford. JDB is here playing the role of Dave again today.
Ooh, yeah. He's pretty good at that.
But JDB, you were just telling us.
So not that good at it.
Oh, damn. That boy fired his own shot and did his own reaction to it.
Damn.
That boy told a joke and then said, ooh.
He told the joke, said, ooh, and then ducked out of the screen. He like, get out of the way.
And then quit.
He like fired a shot at himself and then ducked out of the way.
I'm just here alone.
This week we are talking about instant potato flakes. That's the theme ingredient. But we got some catching up to do here. Before we got on, JDB was explaining last week we're having some technical difficulties and you uncovered the mystery. Is your computer now detects if you like give a physical thumb up or something? What is the thing?
Yeah, apparently like the new Mac operating system, like whatever national park that they're now naming it after, it has this automatic detection of gestures in like its face, the FaceTime camera. And apparently if you do a thumbs up, it'll like overlay an animated thumbs up. And apparently if you're recording a podcast, it will break the software, and turn your camera off and make you have to restart.
Whoa.
Fortunately, it seems not to be not working for you guys, but like,
yeah, I don't know why me and Chris decided to try to fuck everything up just now. Like, we're both just like,
break this episode?
How can we just have an excuse here?
John was literally describing the ways in which giving a thumbs up might ruin the podcast, and Brian and I were immediately just like,
you're both,
thumbs up?
You're like double thumbs up.
Thumbs up? No, so I'm glad we've resolved that. I'm terrified that exists, that's a reality that we live in now, that your computer just knows.
Terrifying.
Brian, where are you sitting? Where are you calling in from? Looking all clean, baby face over here.
I'm in my trailer, man.
Oh, you're in a trailer.
I'm in Toronto shooting a show.
Oh man, can you give us
a shot? That's why there's a hard out, because they're on my fucking. I was supposed to have a day off today, but well, whatever. I'm not gonna get into things, but I'm here. I'm here about to go film some stuff, and I'm trailering it, guys.
Is it too early to tell us anything about the show? Is it too early?
I mean, I can just tell you, and then on the back end, it'll come out next summer. It's a baking show. I'm judging.
Ooh.
Judging a baking show.
Oh, sick.
Good old fashioned safe money.
Hey, let me say this, by the way. Let me say this. That's a big ass trailer.
It is.
I thought you were in like an office building in Lyons.
It's a good host, a good level, good quality. It's a big ass show. It's a huge fucking ridiculous budget show. So
Spent 90% of it on that trailer, because that's a big trailer.
No, they spent 90% on the W room I'm staying in for 3 weeks. You know what I mean? So holla at your boy. You heard
Amazing.
Me.
Wow.
More on that, by the way, because I did this recipe in the W hotel room.
Oh, so I'm excited to hear about that, because you had a crazy constraint too.
It's gonna be fucking nuts. Sorry for the F-bombs, guys. Sorry.
You're excitable today, Brian.
A little hyped right now.
have you, either of you, been eating anything in your respective parts of the world? Anything, cooking anything, eating anything cool? How's the Toronto food scene?
Actually, surprisingly good. The city itself is low. I stayed shitting on cities. It's fine. Toronto, it's fine. Good food, though. I had this place called Mimi's. Mimi's was really good. It's like Chinese food. It's really good. Had some surprisingly good slice of pizza, had some good Jamaican patties, good Jamaican food out here, a place called Chubby's. The place called Chubby's, yo, shout out, because it's fire. Jerk, cocoa, like, everything was good. So, pretty good food.
What about you, JDB? What have you been consuming over there?
I kind of remember anything I ate recently that was really that interesting, but I had my first viral TikTok, and it actually was like because of the show.
What?
I had to go to Calustian's to get all the ingredients for the mole recipe that we did.
I saw that video.
Yeah. And I was just like recorded. I have all this like bartending stuff on my TikTok, and it gets like 500 views, and it's really depressing. And then I posted this video about Calusians being like, this is why I live in New York. It's like the coolest place. Like, it has everything. Like, there's no other place like it that has all of this stuff together in one place. And I just didn't think anything of it. And then now it's gotten like 450,000 views. Ooh, and yes. I get like all these really bad faith comments from people being like, actually, we have stores like that in all over the world. And you're just like a totally provincial New York person. And you think that everything is cool is in New York. It doesn't exist anywhere else. And so like, actually, like, fuck off. And I'm like,
I'm
just trying to make a TikTok.
What's more depressing?
I'm like, look, man, I just
what's more depressing, having the 500 views or having loser strangers from around the world in your ear now?
I like the attention, so I think it's more depressing when my bartending videos don't do well.
No, John, join me on this new world where you don't give a fuck about social media. It's great.
I really should.
It feels phenomenal, man.
No, I really should.
Get off the app. Don't log in. Do not, bro. I'm telling you, I've gone a few weeks just like not giving it. Like,
it's kind of
months,
nice.
Really. It feels liberating. Just live your life, baby. Nice. You are amazing. Yeah. Fuck them people.
I have fun though because I like to screw with people, and then I also people like fight in the comments because people are no, actually this store is really legit, and people are like, rawr, rawr, rawr. And it's like, yeah, I understand that other stores do exist in the rest of the world, but like, where else can you get all this stuff together in one place? Like, where can you get like sodium alginate and then also like yuzu vinegar in the same store?
And John, also all probably this other... at several stores in Cincinnati. If you haven't been to Cincinnati,
someone
you're just
was
a
like, "Oh,
New
you
Yorker.
Can get this in LA. You just need to go to like these five stores." And it's like, that's the point.
Drive 30 minutes between them.
Listen, any sex shop worth its salt is going to have sodium alginate and yuzu hot sauce. Okay, like,
that's why you got the haircut, Chris. You going to sex shop tonight?
Yeah,
you know how I do. You know how the HR hot zone rolls here in New Orleans. I am in New Orleans. I'm here for the National Football League game this evening between the New Orleans Saints and the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's been like,
who dat?
It's been,
who dat?
You know what's crazy?
They're gonna beat them Saints, boy.
Let me say this about New Orleans. First of all, world class city. One of my favorite on the planet, probably top five, I think. Just incredibly special place to me. I spent a good amount of time here. Obviously, this is Brian Ford's stomping grounds. You know what's cool about New Orleans? They really love their football team. It's like going to a small town in Texas who all support their high school football team. You know what I mean? Like where you go to a small town and you go into like every shop and it's just, the boys are playing tonight, you know, like New Orleans, everyone has love.
And the stadium
this.
Is right in the heart of the city. And that's something special too, because a lot, like you think about New York, them stadiums, I don't even know where they are.
Yeah.
The Meadowlands.
San Francisco plays,
far as hell,
San Francisco plays in Santa Clara, which is a different planet.
Now, New Orleans plays right in the heart of New Orleans, right where you could get pop, you could get, you know what I'm saying, block, dance, drinking, it's right there, just walking, just fucking, it's not, it's nice, you know what I'm saying?
So I've been, suffice to say, eating pretty well here. Chang posted a video yesterday. We were at a place called Domalisa's that serves very, very icy cold beer and pretty good po' boys.
Oh, that's what that was.
Pretty good po' boys. Yeah, JDB, he's like, he's high on these goblets, these like super thick, thick glass goblets that are incredible because they retain so much cold and then chill your beer as you're drinking it. And I think as a benefit to you bartenders and restaurateurs, hold an incredibly small amount of liquid. So it's just
They do.
Right. Yeah. It looks like it's a big glass, but actually it's like 4 ounces.
It's a tiny amount of beer. It's a tiny, tiny amount of beer. I bought 4 beers yesterday for our table, and the woman was like, "That'll be $8." I was like, "Whoa, this is incredible." Like
for one?
Yeah. So we've been doing that. And the other thing about New Orleans is all I'll say. We ate, we've been eating all over town. We ate at a place in Treme called Little Dizzy's, and we hit up Galatoire's and Commander's and all these places. I will say this, man, it took me a long time to understand this, but New Orleans makes its own stuff better. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care about jazz or anything until I'm here and I hear like a trumpet. I'm like, oh man, this is the best song in the world. you know?
Yeah, you hear that tuba. You hear that tuba at night and you're like, damn, yes. They are really playing that tuba. Like, you got, you know, different lungs. They got different lungs on there.
It's something different, you know? And like, I love all of the Creole and Cajun food. I love gumbo. I love jambalaya, but only here. You can't do it elsewhere. Just whatever it is, like, you cannot export it.
It's true.
It's crazy.
It's true. Last note, go to Singleton's. I'm gonna tell you again, Chris, when you leave this podcast, go to Singleton's, get you the catfish po' boy.
I'm 100% heading there, because you said po' boy and pho.
They have pho. It's Vietnamese owned.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's a beautiful, beautiful little family shop, man. It's near, it's close to Ottoman Park, but on the backside. It's a small city.
Really good Vietnamese food here too. My God, New Orleans East.
You been in New Orleans East? Y'all went to like the Don Fong?
Not on this trip, but I've been out there a lot. You drive past the crazy old Six Flags Ghost Park and then New Orleans East, man. But it seems like the Vietnamese population lives in New Orleans East, but like some of the restaurants are in like Gretna and Metairie and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're all over the place. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That right there, boy, you're going to have me talking like this. You talk about New Orleans. Talking like I'm back home. You understand what I'm saying?
Damn. He's code switching, John. He's code switching.
I love it.
So we are here. That's the update on what your boys have been eating. But here on Recipe Club, sometimes we do some cooking. And this week we cooked a recipe involving instant potato flakes. Instant potato flakes. Instant potato flakes I grew up with. My at one point my dad took over cooking duties from my mom. When she went to work as a pharmacist, and there was what I refer to as a period of discovery, where Dad was figuring it out. He was just throwing things at the wall, cooking whatever he saw. Chicken cacciatore was a regular thing at our house. I don't know why. I have no idea how he encountered it, but probably most frequently, we would eat instant mashed potatoes with shake and bake pork chops. Is probably the number one regular food growing up. So instant potato flakes for me, I know they're a miracle ingredient, but I ate too many of them. Did you guys grow up eating instant potatoes like this?
Not like that. They were in the house, but it wasn't really something that, it's not like nostalgic to me or anything like that. I've obviously played with them, but no, I don't have any close memories with them, but they are phenomenal.
Yeah, the first time I remember the first time I ever ate potato flakes was for making this recipe.
Oh, okay.
That was it. I remember the first time.
Way back when?
3 days ago.
Way back 2 weeks ago.
Way back when?
Wait, but why, John?
I don't know. I just never did. Like, I always had like the...
You got fresh potatoes. It's okay. It's okay.
Fresh potatoes, yeah.
It's okay.
My mom was like one of those Martha Stewart wannabe people, so it was always a whole scene.
And she was
the good old Martha wannabes.
And she was giving you,
but they're good. I made them for myself just to see what it was like, and I was like, damn, I could actually just pass these off as regular mashed potatoes, and like it really enough butter and cream, and it's like, who cares?
Yeah,
it's great.
So
I'm totally converted.
The instant potato flake has been around since the 50s. It is, you know, a product of that era of convenience foods. And you know, it's the same
fallout shelters.
Yes, fallout shelters, convenience foods. It's when we sort of all became aware and enamored with the sort of processes of you know, processed foods, you know, and they didn't have this stigma they have today. It's like, oh, you can make this into a crazy space age thing. Like, I'm all for it. That's amazing. That's when they became popular. I think that they, like I said, they continue to be out there. I think they're not huge now, but the process is cool because they are basically cooked, then dehydrated and turned into flakes. So if you've never cooked with instant potato flakes, you know, it is as advertised. They are not like granules. It's gigantic dandruffs of potato that you rehydrate with water or cream or whatever. And like John said, they turn into pretty passable mashed potatoes. But they're one of those cool ingredients too, where you can do fun things with them because of the nature of how they've been processed. They're really good for sort of crusting fish.
I heard that you can also, they use them as snow and TV and like movies and TV.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that true?
That's what I heard. I don't know. It's like some DVD commentary I listened to when I was like in high school.
What a waste of potato flakes.
That it's like, because they're like, because they don't melt.
Fucking waste of potato flakes, man. That's sad to hear. I can't believe it.
Right, much like, rather
they got hungry ass people and they got hungry people. I'm not trying to be one of them, oh, there's starving kids type person. I'm just saying, but like legit, how you gonna waste all that food?
What do you want them to use for snow, for Brian? What do you want them to use?
Actual snow you can import from places that lit. Bridget went to college in Oswego, and she said literally the part of that town's economy is exporting snow to other places, bro. Like they send their snow out to be used. So I don't know, you know what I'm saying? But potato flakes, man, that's, come on, bro. Let's eat them potatoes, man.
Are you
come on,
is
bro?
Bridget pulling your leg, dude? They export snow from Oswego.
That's what she told me, and if I'm wrong, that's on her.
I hope she hears. I don't see why she would lie to me about. She's like, "Oh my god, I can't believe you said that." Like, oh no, that was a joke, dude.
It's gone too far.
Oswego snow export. I don't know, bro. I'm googling this shit. She must have made this shit up because ain't nothing in Google that say nothing about this. But that's what she told me, son. I don't know.
You think they're filming Home Alone? They're just like backing up a semi full of snow. They're just like, all right, we got that Oswego snow here.
Like a big sign of, yeah.
Can you sign for this here, Mr. Columbus?
I mean, someone's like, this isn't Oswego. This is not Oswego snow. Like, put it on their gums.
They're like, this is potato flake, man. This been cut with potato flakes.
I don't know, man. Whatever, man. Let you use the potato flakes, whatever.
So anytime you look up these instant potato flakes, the first thing that people sort of, I was looking at the history, and everybody points to the fact that dehydrated and in fact freeze-dried potatoes go back to the Incan Empire, who have you played with this in all Damn. Of your sort of South American travels, Brian, with chuño, like the dried Peruvian potato? Have you ever encountered this?
I've never been to Peru somehow, so I've not physically encountered it, but it has definitely appeared in a lot of things I've read about. Peru, because of the altitude changes that they have, Peru's got all kind of shit. Peru just has so many different types of vegetables, potatoes, quinoas, and grains, and all that kind of stuff. So it's quite remarkable down there. But I have not tasted one.
It seems very cool, but you know, it's like they would basically lay out these little potatoes, and I think potatoes come from there, and would basically freeze dry them literally in the freezing weather and dry them and become portable and long lasting. But, that's not what we cooked with. We cooked with instant potato flakes. I wanted to ask you guys this. What are the best dried foods?
Dried? Like freeze dry? What do you define dried?
Because I mean, let's say not freeze dried. Let's say just a dried food. I'm, you know, like
not so not. I'll tell you this: it's not dried fruit. It's not dried fruit.
I was gonna say strawberries.
Dried or dried strawberries? Dried.
Freeze dried? No.
Wait, screw you that. Like dried?
Like dried like
raisin strawberries?
They're like, yeah, they're so good. Or apricots? Yeah.
Well, I do love raisins. I guess. I mean, I can't even. Fruit, I mean, raisins are phenomenal.
Like, mangoes, guys. Raisins. Mangoes. Mango.
Dried mango is really good. Yeah. Fuck yeah. I mean, I guess there's some dried fruit. I don't know. I just like. I don't like dry apricots and all that kind of shit, man. I don't know.
Oh, dried apricots rock. I like to dip them in chocolate, make little Christmas candy. Yeah.
Are you guys? Are you jerky? That's right. Are you jerky boys?
Never.
Never.
Yeah.
Never been a jerky it's type because it's too hard on the teeth, man. I've seen people eating jerky and they're like, I'm like, bro, are you fucking, what do you think, you a lion or something?
For 4 years. Screw that.
It is a,
I don't play with.
It's a flat out note on the jerky from these guys. I'm a jerky maniac.
It's an absolute negative.
That's me out there. That's me, dude.
But why? Like what? I never understood the appeal to eat tough dried meat.
I just feel like I'm fighting my food and I'm gonna win.
if you're camping or something, Chris, if you were out in the wilderness, lost, and you had to eat that, I would support that. But just if you sitting right now and you pull out some jerky in New Orleans and you just start, I'm like, why are you eating that? What is the purpose? That's what I saw.
Okay, I'm never like cruising the street eating jerky. I'm not just like, I got some in my pocket. I'm not a fur trapper. I'm just like, I like to sit on the couch and have a Slim Jim or something.
What's this? Oh, post workout. That's your post. So, like, when would you eat this? Like, when?
When would I eat this? When I'm like rifling through the kids' snack drawer, trying to find something that's not healthy, and I find like one.
Why are your kids? You give this to your kids? Jerky?
Yeah, sometimes I'll eat a little jerky.
You know what? I'm always so disappointed by the amount of jerky that comes in the packages. Like in these big ass bags, and there's a dehydrator package, and then it's like four pieces of jerky, and it's like the plastic to jerky ratio is like way.
I agree. It is.
Oh, but like, what the hell, man?
What's the one that's the skinny tube? Slim Jim?
Slim Jim. Yeah. I love a Slim Jim.
It's like a skinny tube.
Yeah, skinny tube. And like it's easier to bite.
Is that jerky or is that more like a sausage?
Is Slim Jim jerky?
I think Slim Jim's is sausage, actually. You're right, JDB. I think it's more of a snappy sausage. Well, but it's a dried, cured meat.
Whatever. Product.
But yeah, I love a Slim
Jim. I've played with Slim Jim like a couple times years ago, and I think I enjoyed it. But
in your wild days. What about... I looked this up as I was thinking about like each of your respective worlds, because we're going to dive deep into the world of Brian Ford here. This is a baking centric episode, but as I was sitting here thinking about instant potato flakes and the idea there, right? Like you just sort of, you add water and you've got mashed potatoes. It does appeal to this kind of space age Americana thing. You know what I mean? Do you remember in the JDB, you must remember this. Do you remember in the Fifth Element where she like puts a plate with some pills into a microwave and
oh hell yeah,
and she's like, ooh, chicken, good, and it comes out like a whole chicken. Like
I think about that all the time.
That's the dream, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Or like in Back to the Future 2, and the pizza, the little baby pizza comes in and it goes, bing, and it's like a big pizza. Yeah,
exactly. Like this is central to sort of science fiction fantasy, right? Like food in the future will be shrunk down instant, and you'll pop it into a machine and it'll come out perfectly sized and steaming and hot and brown. So I was thinking about you, John, and I was like, is there dried alcohol? Is there instant alcohol? Could I just like add whatever, could I add alcohol powder to any liquid flavor and just create something?
I don't think so.
Well, John, I Googled it.
What?
The Japanese have invented it. There is some kind of instant alcohol that I think when you sit and think about it for 1 second, alcohol powder. It's actually not dried, I guess. It's like micro capsulized.
So they apply the alcohol to a substrate. It's not actually like the ethanol.
It is
in solid form.
It is
it's like dried water. You can't do
it
that.
It is the alcohol, but it's not dried. It's micro encapsulated. So I think they like can combine it with whatever, maltodextrin, whatever. But it has the effect of like you just add water and it becomes alcohol. And I was like, whoa, that'd be amazing. Like I can turn any beverage alcoholic just by
sprinkling.
Jiminy cricket. Probably yes. I mean, you can snort it, you can boof it.
There's only one way to find out.
You can boof it, you can do anything you want with it. But I think then it took me all of 1 second to be like, oh, that should never be legal. Like, can you?
It's a really bad idea because you could just eat it and then you get so drunk and then you would probably die.
Yeah. And it would turn you into alcohol. What if you just ate the powder and it was just like, oh, liquid, I'm turning this human into alcohol.
That does sound dangerous.
But for a second, Brian, I saw your eyes light up a little bit. For a second, you were like, that sounds awesome.
No, I drink pretty much only red wine.
Like if you want to have powdered like alcohol, just do ketamine.
Well, that doesn't sound...
You only drink red wine. What if you could just sprinkle a little powdered alcohol into some grape juice and be like, there's my red wine. Wouldn't that be convenient?
No, I don't think so. Wine comes from natural fermentation. So I don't know if some powder is going to do it for me, but you know... It doesn't sound appealing to me, Chris.
All right, fine. You're both disinvited from my.
There's a brand I just Googled. There's a brand called Palcohol,
and it's
powdered alcohol.
And it's powdered alcohol.
Yeah, it's in the, looks like it's in the UK or something. I had to see this. I was like, what is this powdered alcohol?
They're so much more sophisticated than us there. All right, wildly off topic. We have a bunch of recipe submissions for not powdered alcohol, because these guys won't come with me on powdered alcohol. We got a good number of submissions for instant potato flakes. We got, I'll run through these as quickly as I can. Man, we got a lot of these. Instant Potato Lefse by Eric Mensch. Dad's Butterhorns from Hannah Vickers. Thanksgiving Dinner, Alexander Flowers. Potato Candy from Catherine Cunningham. Has not missed the recipe club yet. Baked Alaska Meatloaf from Adam Sofren. Sourdough Bread from Brandon Dean. LeBlanc Family's Acadian Style Tortilla. Something from Kirsten Westlow, black garlic mashed potato balls from Mary Bennett, also a frequent submitter, and fancy mashed potatoes from Cindy Nelson. Brian, which one did we bake? Which one did we make?
So make. Yes, that is the correct word for me. Make. these were all some interesting submissions, but the Dad's Butterhorns, as soon as I saw that, I was like, I don't know what that is, but we got to make Dad's Butterhorns. So that's where we landed. Papa's Butterhorns.
I hope you all abided by the rule that we came up with when we chose Dad's Butterhorns, which was you cannot look up what a butterhorn is before you make this. And I wanted to see what everybody ended up with. But the recipe from Hannah Vickers.
No one told me that was a rule.
John, you cheater.
Well, because I'm subbing in for Dave, so
he would have cheated.
Didn't get
true to form.
Hi, this is Hannah Vickers, and this is my dad's butterhorn recipe. Food was a big part of life growing up, you know, cooking from scratch. So it was something that everybody participated in, both parents cooked. My dad was the baker in our family. I don't remember ever not having homemade bread at home. Other kids would come to school with like Wonder Bread sandwiches and whatever, and it was always homemade bread for us. This recipe, his butterhorns, were known as like his signature bake. So anytime there was like anything even slightly special happening, there were butterhorns. Whether it was a holiday, getting invited to someone's house, whatever it was, there was going to be butterhorns. It was basically the expectation that if we were coming, butterhorns would be there.
It is a recipe that I think Brian also was gravitating toward because it was on a written on a recipe card and could not have had simpler directions. It's potato flakes, dry milk, milk, honey, sugar, shortening, salt, eggs, vanilla, yeast, water, and flour. Mix instant potato flakes with some flour, dry milk, sugar, and salt. Add milk, proofed yeast, shortening, eggs, honey, vanilla, and more flour. Knead, let rise, roll out, let rise, and then bake. That is the entire recipe, which I love.
No, actually, it says they attached something else, but y'all didn't provide it, it seems. They attached something else that showed the shaping. It says it in the note. It says, I have also attached how it shaped, and I didn't see that.
Wow. That's
nice little play.
No. The shaping of the dough is in the original recipe. I was familiar with it that I didn't copy it over. Is that what they said? I don't think we're supposed to get it.
It says that we got it.
Yeah, well, it's more fun if we have no idea what a butterhorn is and no idea how to shape it.
It was way more fun trying to make it without knowing, but I was like, man, I wish I could see what that was. I really do.
So this is the kind of recipe I think that we all really love on the show. It's a legitimate family heirloom. I think it had originally started as a Better Homes and Gardens recipe that evolved into a family recipe. And then, you know, obviously it was passed from generation to generation. Super simple directions that aren't sort of overwrought and ridiculous. A lot of sort of choose your own adventure to this stuff. And we love this kind of recipe, even though we didn't know what a butterhorn was. But as we do here on Recipe Club, we make the original in our studio, which, you know, at some point you'll see in a video. But we also make it a little harder on ourselves by taking a spin on the Wheel of Death. I'm sitting in a hotel room in New Orleans, so the Wheel of Death is nowhere near me. Usually it's sitting right behind me, comforting me. But we each landed on a different constraint under which we had to make this instant potato dad's butterhorns Dad's Butterhorns is just like, just, I know it's a totally innocent name.
It's perfect.
It really does not sound.
I don't know if it's innocent.
it doesn't sound. I feel like I'm being pranked here.
It's like someone sees your search history. They're like, Dad's Butterhorns. Like, we need to have a talk.
Right. I had to change my safe settings off when I
googled it. You only did this incognito.
I had to go incognito to search for that shit.
Bridget walks in, you shut your laptop really quick. Just like, no. It's not what you think, man.
It's Dad's Butterhorns.
At least it's not Daddy's Butterhorns.
It's not your stepdad's Butterhorns.
Oh my god, dude. Holy cow. Okay, so JDB was assigned stepdad's Butterhorns, and no, JDB, you absorbed Chang's assignment, which was to do a fusion. Yeah,
although I actually think I assigned it to him when he wasn't there, and then I ended up getting it.
I think that's exactly true. I think we spun this with the intent of Dave
doing the theme of this episode.
Yeah, just like.
Just hitting myself.
Just hitting. Exactly. Exactly. Shooting zingers your own way. So Shady B made Papa's Butterhorns fusion style, fusing it with Peruvian cuisine, which seems fitting given Peru. What we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Brian Ford, you landed on double taxation. So I think I maybe gave you these two double taxation tasks, which I thought would be okay. I didn't know you were going to be making this in a hotel room in Canada when I assigned these to you.
Neither did I, but it's okay.
You got the assignment to make this luxe, spend money elevating this thing, making it fancy, and you had to be, one element of this had to be handmade. And I think we said you had to hand make the potato flakes, so I'm eager to hear if that worked out. I think I also landed on double taxation. I ended up with budget. So I couldn't spend more than $20 or $25, and fusing it with Mexican baking. So those were the three tasks. I don't know.
You make guarnitos. That's what I would have done.
I made something. I made a little something. I don't know. I was proud of it, but we'll see.
Okay.
You want me to just go? I'll go. I think mine is probably actually the closest to the original version of this thing. So as far as budget goes, this was not a challenge to standard budget. These are all very affordable ingredients to start out with, and I had almost all of them at home. So the only things I had to buy were the potato flakes, the dry milk, and instead of shortening, I bought lard because I wanted to make a concha. Mm. So I've never made conchas before. I've always wanted to. I always think they're like the coolest looking baked good in the world. Just, you know, the Mexican pan dulce with like a seashell pattern of sort of a crust of a sugary crust on top that looks like a seashell. And they come in all sorts of different colors and usually are chocolate or vanilla. I mean, Brian, I'm mutilating this. You tell me something about.
You're not. That was perfect.
Okay. I knew this was a bad idea because I was like walking straight into Brian Ford's house and just being like, I'm gonna do this. But I looked at the recipe and I thought it's an enriched, super, you know, buttery dough with lots of fat. And I thought that to me translates easily. But I know that traditionally, I know you make a lot of conchas with shortening now, but like you, I think traditionally or maybe more traditionally with lard. So I wanted to use lard. So I bought lard instead. And then the only other purchase I had to make was a little food coloring, a little powdered sugar, so I can make the topping. Mm-hmm. So otherwise I made this recipe. I made the dough basically as instructed, you know, instant potato flakes and flour and dried milk. And, I used instant yeast. So I didn't, I used like, you know, Red Star instant yeast. So I didn't proof it. I just added it straight into the dough, which I think works fine if, you know, you have good healthy yeast. I never looked up the shape of this thing, which I didn't have to, because I was making it into a different shape. I proofed it once. I split it up into little balls, proofed it again, baked it. And then the only difficult part was, I'll tell you what, I had no idea. I've eaten a lot of conchas and I had no idea what the topping was. I had no idea whatsoever.
Yeah, what is that?
So I didn't Google it, but I just assumed it was more lard or shortening or some sort of fat was going to be the basis of it. And then sweetened with powdered sugar. And I started trying to make it into kind of like a marzipan type of thing. But I was like, this needs more flour. So I added flour once I was like, this is frosting. So far, this is frosting. So I added some flour. It was, and then food coloring. And it looked great. I was feeling very hopeful. But the one thing I would say is I was having trouble working with it until I decided to sort of like sheet it out and then freeze it or like put it in the refrigerator so it was cold. Because like as soon as you touch it, it's just going to start liquefying and melting away or whatever. But it's not liquefying, but you know what I mean? It's like if you manipulate it too much,
the T-1000
it's, just, it's not going to, you can't slice it. You can't
to make that cubierta 1-to-1 on the fat and sugar, 1-to-1 fat powdered sugar, and then a little more flour. Okay. So it's like if you do 50 grams butter, 50 grams powdered sugar, something like 75 flour. And that like somewhere in that range is going to get you that like Play-Doh.
Okay.
That's what
I think I was pretty close, but I think like it, like I said, it was just like that melting point of the lard seemed very low. And it wasn't liquefying. Liquefying. It was just like hard to slice into a round and shape and design if it wasn't cold. Mm-hmm, so I made it cold. And then I'll tell you what, guys, I feel like I did a pretty good job of this thing. Like I colored them red. Let me see if I can find a photo real quick for you.
Oh, I want to see your red conchas.
Ryan, can I ask you a question while Chris is figuring this out?
Yeah.
It's a baking question, so this is why. So, you know, have you ever had melon pan, like the Japanese bread?
Mm-hmm.
Is that like a version of concha? Because I always feel like they're kind of like the same.
They look very similar. The topping is usually thinner on those. Pan dulce. Yeah, they look the same. They have a lot of the same qualities for sure. Oh snap!
That's my little conchas—they look pretty good, right?
Look at that;
it's not bad.
Where's the butter horn? Like, I used the butter horn and turned it
into a concha, man. Chris.
So you just made a concha.
Yeah, what's I supposed? I could barely make a concha. You want me to make a butter horn concha? How am I supposed to do that, dude?
I was expecting you to say I took the dough, shaped it into some fucking horns, and then put the cubierta on and had. And I was expecting to see some like red devil horn type shit.
Hey, you know what, Brian?
And you just show me some contest.
You know what, Brian? That's what my butter horns look like. Okay. So no judging what this dad's butter horns look like. All right.
Maybe your butter horns look
like that.
Everyone's butter horns are unique and special.
Don't
butter horn shame.
Are they not supposed to be shaped like horns? I mean, it's in the name, no.
Their dad's butter horns and my butter horns are round and bulbous. Okay, maybe we're not all of us work out our butter horns enough to get them shapely and horny. But you know, that's just what mine look like.
But for me, the
greater point here, like I'm not messing around. Like I could have made it into a horn shape, but I was like, I just like the idea of this kind of a dough being like whether it's being in a panaderia or like in dad's, you know, oven or in France, it's like this, the essential thing at its core is the same. You know what I mean? Like I love that part of it. And so for me, it's like the only difference between dad's butter horns and conchas is the shape. Like that's literally it, right? Like it's basically the same stuff.
Well, the potato flakes is not a typical
pan dulce. I was going to ask you about the potato flakes and I'll hear about this when you guys get to yours. I was like, this is a small amount of potato flakes. I don't really know what the hell the point of potato flake is in this thing, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a substantial amount of potato flakes. I don't really understand the purpose of it, but I wouldn't put water or potato in a pan dulce though. It's usually just milk, just whole milk and not milk powder either, but that's just me. I think you get a more like succinct situation because of the fat. So that, I mean, I think like this dough is not exactly pan dulce dough, but it seems to have worked. I mean, it is dough. I don't know what the potato flakes really did in it at one cup. Because you're talking about you got 7 cups
it's
of flour.
Huge recipe, yeah.
Oh, I cut that's it in like half, not by even, the way, I was like, there's no way I'm going to eat.
Yeah, I
can't take this much dad's butter horns.
I mean, this recipe itself is, 7 cups of flour, you know.
That's all my flour.
How much butter?
That's all the flour I have.
It's so much.
That's all the flour I own.
Because it's not even a cup of fat in here, which is like, I hope you added more fat to it because, I mean, you need to at least be around 30% fat to make a good, or like somewhere between 25 to 30% fat to make a good.
I was really happy with the tenderness of dad's butter horns. They're very tender and fluffy.
Dad's concha horns.
Let's get into who should we go to next? You want to start talking about this potato flake, Brian? You want to talk about your adventure?
Oh man, I don't know if I'm gonna make my heart out. They're gonna come banging at 1 o'clock and be like, fuck man, I'm gonna be still talking about this bullshit I did. All right, yeah. had some scheduling issues. I was traveling for one show, traveling for another show, and in between I had to fire my head baker at the bakery, and it was kind of a situation. So it was like, fuck, I was like, when am I gonna do this? Finally got this on the books and I was like, all right, I got settled here, and I get to this hotel room. It's nice suite, but there's not even a fucking mic. Sorry, man, it's cursing. There's not even a microwave in this place. And I'm like, man, all right. There's not a microwave. Obviously, I'm on set of a baking show, but I can't. It's hard to do. I can't just be like, yo, I need to like use this. Yeah, I couldn't do that. But I bummed an induction from them. I was like, okay, nice. What can I do? And I was like, I just like kind of got an induction burner. I brought that back. And I was like, okay, so I gotta bake this. I wanna make this. At first, I was like, I'll get a Dutch oven. I'll heat it up really hot on the induction and like put some kind of manipulator in there to put the dough on to bake. And I was like, you know, that's dumb. That's not gonna work. So I got a cast iron and I was like, well, there's a lot of different types of bread in the world. You know, there's flatbreads, tortillas. And I was like, there's also fry bread, right? There's also fry bread. So I made a dough. I'll get to the potato part in a second. I'm trying to set the scene for you of how the situation happened, how I was able to make this. I made a fry bread out of this recipe because I was in a hotel room with an induction burner. All right. So that's how that happened. I was also able to procure a dehydrator, Chris Yang. All right. I was able to procure a dehydrator because amazing. I actually, you know, the funny thing is I forgot this episode. I knew it was Lux. I was like, all right, I got to do Lux. And then I went and re-listened. I was like, wait, wasn't there like two things he told me? And I couldn't find anything in the email. And so I go and re-listen to this thing literally at like the 11th hour. And Chris Yang's voice is like, I want you to hand make the potato flakes. And I'm like, bro, like really, how did you really say that? So I'm like, okay, tall task. And I'll try to walk you through the process of just the dough, and then I'll get into Luxtown, baby, because we're going all the way to Luxtown because we out here in Canada and they got some fire luxurious things here that you can use. I boiled them, peeled them, let them cool completely. Potatoes, just nothing fancy. I didn't go Luxtown on the potatoes. I just found a bag of potatoes, not baking potatoes like a nice gold potato, like a nice potato that you would want to eat mashed. Boiled them, peeled them, cooled. Grated them, dehydrate overnight. They went bye-bye. Luckily, dehydrate is cheap. You can get one for like $20. They went bye-bye overnight. And like the funny thing is, Chris, about you making me hand make potato flakes is that all you do is rehydrate them back into their original form. Yeah. And I was like, this is I cannot believe, Chrissy, that you made me.
I think it's
I just put it into a bread mix. I was like, I didn't even need to dehydrate these. And quite frankly, you should be punished for doing that to me.
We can play back the tape. You were excited about this. You were fine with this. You used nicer potato. You had an opportunity to add a little Brian Ford magic to the dehydrated potatoes. You could have done something cool with the potatoes. But
Chris, I'm in a hotel room. Don't talk to me about doing something cool with the potatoes. I'll tell you where Luxtown came in. Listen, a dough like this the potato. I could use the most expensive potato in the world, and you're not gonna wouldn't taste matter. It in the dough like this. And that's why I didn't splurge on potatoes. Ying, trying to comfort me.
You're blaming right. me for this. So, I think I'm very happy to. I actually want to know.
You are literally to blame.
Did it work though? Like it would you
yeah,
have?
All right. So I'm gonna break down the truth of what happened. So I made the dough. I looked at the ingredients and I kind of just, I have a potato roll recipe and stuff like that. I there's not enough fat in this recipe. It could use a little more egg. It could take out the water. Just use whole milk. There's a lot of ways. I think that, you know, this recipe, look, all due respect to Dad's Butterhorns and the original jotting down. It was a nice little starting point for me to visualize, what I needed to procure. Got some stone ground flour, spent a little bit of money on that, but, I fried it. In oil, nice. in the shape of horns, because I'm like, isn't that part of the whole situation? They're called butter horns. All right, nice fry, got a nice lift, and instead of the honey, I used a certified organic maple syrup from Ontario. Mm. That was quite expensive, and it was. I mean, let me tell you, I went to this. This other show I was doing in Quebec last week or 2 weeks ago, I went to a maple farm for the first time where they tap and everything. Bro, it's a different level.
It's crazy.
It's different. It's different yeah. level. And I was like, I was like, oh, that maple syrup shit ain't that. Who cares,
now you know why it's
bro?
So expensive.
It's just syrup. And then when you go and drink that syrup from where it comes like that, boy. So I got some of that. It was quite expensive. It was like $50 for a little bottle. I was like, yeah, well, it's Luxtown. Added that into the dough instead of the honey. And I think that definitely elevated the flavor of the dough. But where I really went Luxtown is there's this high-end meat shop here in Toronto that carries a line of duck foie gras that's made in Quebec. Right. And I plated the fry bread, my horns, my nicely fried butter horn fry bread. And I served it with the foie gras on top and a little more of the maple yeah. syrup. And the foie gras was quite expensive. It was literally like $100 just for that, for like a little
duck. Okay, Martin Picard.
Let me tell y'all about Dad's fry bread butter horn with foie gras and organic maple syrup. It was fucking divine. It was divine. It was, bro, insane. It was like, it was Michelin dining in the W, baby, with an induction burner. So you could try me, Chris Ying, but I'm gonna take you to Luxtown. And I'm gonna get you. And I'm gonna get you revved your engines.
Hey man, I'll take a ride to Luxtown with you anytime, man. Anytime, anytime. I'll get on that train to Luxtown.
Yeah, I think I just moved into Luxtown.
That was my first time having real foie gras. I think that was my first time having.
Now I know you're lying because I had it with you at Claude in New York, my friend. So now I know everything about your story. It's a lie. You don't remember our meal. There was like
I was a little loopy that night. Let's just say that. I don't remember what the hell we were eating, dude. Okay, the second time. We had, was it duck?
No, goose. But that sounds delicious, goose. Man. That sounds really, really outrageously delicious.
It was quite good. The best meal ever cooked in the W.
I feel like the hotel, like the nightly rate, that definitely also counts for the Lux.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah, I mean, bro, you
the Lux dollar amount.
You don't even want to know. The content's great. I can't wait for y'all to see it. It's real
super
fun.
Excited. $20,000. JDB, bring us home with the Mexican butter horn.
All right, so I was doing Peruvian
excuse me,
butter horns, Peruvian butter horns, and I wish I didn't. Look up what butter horns were supposed to look like, which are they're basically just like croissants, right? Like, but because I was fully prepared to like pile up some dough on a baking sheet, like
bake them
like a chode,
bake them for
like a horn, like sticking.
Bro, what?
I was prepared to do that, and I was like, you know what? Let me just see what these look like. And
you should have done just that. Croissants.
It would have been so hilarious.
You should have done that.
I wish I knew. I wish I knew. It's just like the biggest regret of my life. But anyway, so
just really quick, JDB says I wanted to pile them up on a tray like a chode.
I mean, that's butterhorns, man.
Oh my god,
like a chode.
Because you know that's how they would have come out. It wouldn't have been some like sharp like devil horns that you could have like poked someone with.
It wouldn't have been a chode.
Anyway. Like a real lumpy base, you know, it would have been enough. So I I got it. I'm trying to do Peruvian cuisine here. And so I'm looking up, you know, various things. And I found something called a causa, which is like a potato casserole kind of thing that has a little bit of like a, it's like a tuna salad or a chicken salad or some sort of like little meat kind of situation in the middle. It's sort of like a little trifle where it's like a layer of mashed potatoes that are sort of like congealed. And then there's like a meat situation and there's another one on top and it's like a nice little Peruvian dish. So what I did is I took the Butterhorn's recipe and it felt it was like kind of sweet. So I didn't want to do like a savory recipe with like, you know, the vanilla extract. It just seemed like it wouldn't have been that congruous. So what I did is I switched out the regular milk powder for goat milk just to give it some like acidity, kind of make it nice.
Wow.
And then I also, so remember the Lomo Saltado recipe from last season? Yes, I actually still have the ají amarillo paste in my refrigerator from that. So I just dumped that in the dough recipe.
Whoa.
To make it like a little spicy and give it like a little edge and kind of colored it a little bit too.
Made that's
it,
garlic made it, based get, though, right?
It's like kind of garlic and yeah, chili.
That's dangerous
like,
to put into
it's
dough.
It's good. It's really good. It and good. The thing is the recipe, it makes so much dough. I still have a huge Ziploc bag full of frozen, uncooked
chodes,
Butterhorns. I should actually just melt them, thaw them out and then reshape them into chodes.
Somebody should tip off the police that Sean DeBerry has a freezer bag of chodes in his house.
You don't want to see my freezer. And
fuck it in your freezer.
And just like mushrooms. So I wanted to make like a kind of a casserole, like layered. So I made some Butterhorns that were more like spiraled. So I could layer them as like a little, almost like a little sandwich. So I baked all those up. And then I made a tuna tartare with like jalapeno and avocado and like some lime juice and just like a little salt and pepper, tossed that up. And then I took one of the Butterhorns, sliced it in half, put the ceviche situation in the middle and then made a whole little sandwich. And it was like a little
cheese
JDB Mick Butterhorn.
Damn.
Well, and in Peru, they have a pan de yema that's shaped just like you described. So I got you. Maybe you knew that or did not know that, but I'll give you points for that. I'll give you points for.
Yeah, I actually didn't know that. So.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. Totally. That's the assist. But it sounds it sounds like you made a little a Peruvian pan de yema. That sounds quite good, my friend.
Yeah, great.
I'm looking at this causa.
Peruvian is a
mug. Looks very cool too. It's like a little.
What is it?
The causa he was talking
like a little
about.
Trifle, like a little casserole kind of situation. I think usually the potato element is more like pasty. It isn't like baked, but for this, I figured since it was like a potato recipe, it works perfectly. So
it reminds me of, have you guys ever heard of herring under a fur coat? Do you know this dish?
No.
Okay.
I haven't.
It's a cool dish. Anyway, it's a Russian dish and it's like a kind of layer.
Sounds like, it sounds like it's like in the same search history as Dutch Butterhorn.
Yeah. Herring under the red coat.
I like to do all my searches on the dark web. Dad's Butterhorns and herring under a fur coat. That sounds amazing, JDB. That's the Peruvian version of Dad's Butterhorns. We have taken, we've taken Hannah Vickers, Dad's Butterhorns all over the place. All over the place to Luxtown.
There's a potato.
To Luxtown in the W, to a panaderia, to the dark web. We've taken them all over the place. We've taken Dad to places he never thought he would go.
To Lima.
Dad, it was great traveling with you this week on Recipe Club. We only have our, we only, we're fortunate enough to have Gabby as our producer in the booth here. We're all in kind of a remote situation here.
Well, you just lost the episode.
So.
I mean, he just made a concha.
So listen.
I could have told you that.
Yeah. Listen. I also happen to be Gabby's employer. So, you guys.
Hostile workplace. You have rights, Gabby, for those. You have rights.
You should
sidebar with me. If you there are rights that you can have, you know, against.
Yeah. So Gabby's gonna deliberate. She's gonna go into her isolation booth. She's gonna think really hard about the tales we just spun for her. She's going to pick a first, second, and third place for this week. But in the meantime, let me give you all a quick update on the scores. The season standings, I should say. We've had a little bit of movement here, I believe. Still sitting atop the doggy pile here is John DeBerry with a average score of 9.43, which is ridiculous. Basically, the guy never loses. In second place, Priya is nipping at your heels, JDB. She's got 9.40. So, you know, she's right there behind you. So this week matters. Dave is in third place with 9.06. Right behind him is Brian with a perfect average of 9.00. Rachel, who suffered a loss last time out, has the very auspicious number of 8.88. And yours truly, Mr. Concha, Mr. Doesn't Ever Do Enough, 8.76 in the basement. That's me. Gabby, you can come out of the isolation booth.
I'm out. I'm here.
Give us your infallible ruling on this week's Instant Potato Hannah Vickers Dad's Butterhorns.
It was another really interesting week with everyone. So I'm just trying to soften the blow.
Got to butter us up like that.
In third place this week, the man who legally can't be mad at me is Chris Ying. I thought it was a really good job. I just really liked, the Concha's idea. In second place, we've got JDB with the Peruvian take. And for all the trials and tribulations you went through, Brian, you get first place for this week.
Unanimous decision.
Feels right. It feels right.
Lux the way, man. Lux is the way that, for me, the easy path to victory.
I can't wait to see the video.
I will not be sharing my...
It's a disaster.
I will not be sharing my feelings on this ruling in this public forum, but rest assured, I will be filing a complaint, an official complaint to our human resources department about another incidence of being bullied in the workplace. I am being bullied. I am being bullied at work, guys.
And you're putting it on record. This is a dangerous game, Ying.
It's not bullying if it's true.
Thank you.
Damn, John.
That's not how bullying works. it's always true.
It's always true.
That is another episode of Recipe Club in the can. There it is. In the toilet.
The can.
There's another episode of Recipe Club in the toilet for you all. I think we have, what do we have left? Gabby, do we have any more ingredients for these guys? That's it for Brian Ford.
No, that's it. I'm done.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
That's all for JDB and Brian Ford for another season of Recipe Club, season 65 or whatever.
Oh, wait, after today, who's winning? Is Priya winning now or is it still me?
Oh, let's update those. That's a great question.
He's concerned.
That's all I care about. I'm sorry. Brian, you can be late to your
Let me give you all some updates on these standings here. Still in the basement. Nowhere near climbing out of this thing. I'm loving it down here. I'm a piece of mildew on the wall of the basement now. 8.73. Rachel stays at 8.88. Dave falls into fourth place because scrambling over his body, clambering over his body is Brian Ford, who now stands on the podium with a 9.17. And in second place, with a score of 9.38 season average, is now John DeBerry. You have gifted the top spot to Priya Krishna, who I believe also won last season. This isn't the end. We don't know. There is still opportunity for Priya to cough it up, I believe. And there's still opportunity for JDB or Brian to sub in for another episode and maybe retake the lead here, which will probably be under protest. But
I have a question.
What do you got?
I've never subbed in an episode. How many episodes have I been in compared to someone like John? He's been in more episodes than me. Am I not right?
It's average. It isn't.
It's total. Average. It's average. But look what just. But Brian, look what just happened to him.
Because I was in this episode, I went. Yeah, exactly.
He just got screwed by being in an extra.
This is what I do for you, Brian.
I suppose. I mean, listen. It's not my fault, man. You should have been more Peru. Let me say this to you, Brian.
If you think that being in more episodes is helpful, I've been in every motherfucking one of these, and I've been last place.
So is the finale work towards the average? Like two? How does the finale even work? I don't even know.
The deathmatch.
We're gonna have some November audience voting is gonna play a role. Ooh. These scores will play a big role. Some arbitrary feelings that I have been developing over the course of this season toward all of you will play a role. We're gonna have our season awards at the end of the season as they usually happen. And there's still plenty more Recipe Club to come before then. We've got a couple of special episodes in store, including some fun special guests that I think everyone's going to be excited about. And like I said, this most likely will not be the last time you'll hear from one of these two gentlemen before we get to the finale. I'm sure we're going to enlist them again. But in the meantime, join the Majordomo Media Discord to play along with Recipe Club. You know, you can spin the wheel for yourself. You can land on fusion. You can try to make a Mexican butter horn and be accused of not having made it horny enough. And you should also subscribe to our YouTube channel, Majordomo Media's YouTube channel, where you will start to see some of these videos. You'll start to see the photographic evidence of the magnificence of my butter horns and Brian Ford somehow wizarding a foie gras topped flatbread in a hotel in Toronto.
It's the best of all time.
Dude, this Canadian,
you can't
this,
just call this, a concha a butter
this
horn.
Canadian air is going to your head.
To get out of a bacon.
This Canadian air no, is going to your no. head.
You can't just call a concha a butter horn and expect to get out of the basement, Chris.
I just want to say, this guy's coming with knives out on the show. But the last time I talked to him, he called me from a bar just to be like, I love you, bro. Look at these chicken wings.
No. Let's talk about why I called you, actually. John, I FaceTimed him with Bridget at a bar. We were eating wings. This is after our wing episode that we did together.
Yeah.
And I had that moment where I was like, Chris and Ying is right that the flats are so much better. And he was so right. Oh. I FaceTimed him just to tell him how right he was. So just because I really call sweet. My knives out on the show doesn't mean that I'm not, submissive to oh mighty Ying.
And, it made me. You know it was. It absolutely made my day. I was like the happiest thing in the world. I was driving my car, and Brian and Bridget were enjoying some wings and some beverages, and I was like, I was so happy to convert you to a flat man, and just to hear from you guys.
The meat is just so much juicy. It's just so much better.
It's so much better.
It's real. It's real.
So give us 5 stars and we will talk to you all very soon. Thank you to Brian. Thank you to John. Thank you to all of you out there for listening. All right.